Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. It's good to know that the Spirit of God is moving in this place, breaking things off of your life as you worship Him, healing bodies, drawing people to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the work that only He can do, right? You know, oftentimes we tend to want to make church a man-made thing where it's all about what can a man do? Well, a man can do very little, but the Spirit of God can do all things, right? So let's keep our eyes and our focus on Christ today, on the Spirit of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to minister to you, and I really believe the Lord wants to break something off of your life today. And so we're in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read the first seven verses, and I titled this sermon, The Cure for Worry is Prayer. The cure for worry. Some of you already know you're in trouble, don't you? It's like, oh man, this is the day you should be here. Amen. God has appointed you to be in this service today, whether you know it or not, because He wants you to hear the message of the Lord. Amen. So chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brother, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, whatever, E and S, to be of one of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we pray, Danny Thomas took his wife Sherry to the emergency room this morning, who was experiencing some chest pains, pretty severe chest pains, and so they are probably still at ER right now. You got a word?
Yes, they just called me. They're releasing her. She's fine. They convinced that it's just something skeletal muscle thing that was
having
spasms around it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Great word. Father God, we just come before you today, and Lord, let us start by just giving you thanks, Lord, for touching Sherry, for being with her, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for that you were with them, Lord, during this time, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the families, that the peace of God was there. Lord, we just praise you to this morning. I thank you, Lord, that the Word addresses some of the very critical everyday problems that we have, Father, and I thank you for that. I pray, God, that our hearts would be open and receptive to receiving what the Spirit of the Lord would have for us today. God, let us learn something that we can apply to our everyday life today that will change the way we live. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're not only a spiritual, supernatural God, but you're a practical God that wants to affect us even here and now, Father. Lord, you want us to walk in our inheritance, Lord, right now, to this very day, Father. You want us to walk in the joy of the Lord. So, Father, we give you thanks today. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is here. He is moving. He is setting us free. I thank you, Lord, for the men that's at men's encounter today. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would set them free, Lord, from their past, Lord, from all the memories of things that they have done wrong, God. Free them from those things. Free them from every addiction, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I will say the Quarterlies, Ann and Glenn, have got a new grandbaby that will be glad to show you a picture of. Born in And Brother Dave has his granddaughter and his daughter here today, and I know he's smiling ear to ear, so he's happy too. So glad to have them in church. So he starts off, what I notice is he's talking to the church, he's talking to people that he has established in the faith, and he tells them to stand fast. You know, I think that's a good word for us sometimes. Stand fast. When you've done all to stand, he says in the book of Ephesians, stand ye therefore. Right? So stand fast, it means give feet to your faith. Give feet to your faith. Do you ever feel like running home? Like, man, it's just overwhelming, and is there somewhere I can run to? Is there anywhere? You know, we're studying in Sunday school this morning in John chapter 6, I believe it was, and a lot of people at this time were deserting Christ because he told them that they got to eat his body and drink his blood, and they didn't understand that, so they were leaving, and he looked at his disciples, and he says, you going to leave too? And Peter, loudmouth Peter, he speaks up always, where will we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of life, right? We know who you are. That is truth. But even truth sometimes doesn't come through in the heat of the moment. Does that make sense? Sometimes in the heat of the moment, when everything seems to be falling around you, all you can think about is, I want out of Dodge. I just want to get out of here for the moment. And Paul is addressing this church. He says, stand fast. Come on. When you've done all you can do, just stand. You know, wasn't it God who told Jehoshaphat, just be still? He didn't just stop there. Has the Lord ever told you that? Just be still. Be still, but there's a next part to that, and see the salvation of the Lord. It ain't your battle, hun. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's any more powerful words than that in the scripture. It ain't your battle. Just be still, and let's see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. It means to be stationary, not retreating or deserting your post. Buddy, how many people know someone that has deserted their post? We are coming to the wire. I'm telling you, the clock is about to strike, and the coming of the Lord is imminent. It's close upon us. And people of faith are cracking under the pressure. And they're deserting their posts. And the word of the Lord says, just stand there. Come on. Give feet to your faith. Stand. Just stand. I believe in the last days we'll see something that no other generation has seen. I believe we're going to see something so powerful, so wonderful, that all of creation is going to say, that's God. Amen. That is God. He goes on from there and he talks to these two ladies in the church who are having a disagreement in the church that they could not solve. And I think this is incredibly important, incredibly wise that we study this just a moment. This is really not where I want to go, what I want to talk about today. But there's importance here because he doesn't criticize them. He doesn't rebuke these two ladies. Did you notice that? He doesn't say, oh, stop it. That's what I'd say. Knock that nonsense off. Maybe because he's been there, done that. There was a time when he and Barnabas, the first missionaries, when they came back, they were getting ready to start on their second missionary journey. And Paul looks at Barnabas and said, buddy, you ready to go? And he said, I'm ready to roll, Paul. Let's roll on out. He said, let me call John Mark. And he said, what? No. You ain't bringing that loser with us. He deserted us. And they had a sharp disagreement. The Bible says sharp, uses that word. Intense disagreement. And they parted company. And what happened, Barnabas took John Mark and really wasn't mentioned a whole lot after that. And Paul took Silas, and we see the journey of Paul and Silas from that point. But later on in Paul's ministry, you know what he does? He reaches out and touches somebody. Hey, send John Mark to me. He's profitable for the ministry. You know why? Because God in his infinite wisdom knew that John Mark needed a Barnabas. Knew that he needed somebody that could pour into him and mentor him and bring him up to speed a little bit so that he wasn't a throwaway. And neither are these two ladies in Scripture. They're not throwaways just because they're having a problem. He says, help them work it out. If they can't work it out themselves, you who are spiritual, help them work it out. Come on, get down there in the trenches and let's get this thing going. And he says this to them, but let them see your gentleness. Wow. You know, I find that that is not valued a great deal in the Spirit-filled churches. We're all about the Spirit. We ain't all about gentleness. You know, when I ran the Senior Citizen Center for 20 plus years, the first many, many years, we would have a different minister come in, and they, from a different church, a different denomination, they would just do a little devotion for us. And I noticed something about Methodist ministers. They had a spirit of gentleness on them. To the point that I could tell they were Methodists before I knew where they were coming from. Now here's what's really interesting. I met a man who was pastoring a Methodist church that I saw that spirit of gentleness on him. Just a gentle heart. And I was intrigued by him. So I most of the time would stay in my office, but something just drew me to him, and I went to him and we started a conversation, and I found out he was an Assembly of God minister, licensed with the Assemblies of God, pastoring a Methodist church, but he had the same spirit that was in those Methodist churches. You know, a lot of times we want to look down our noses on different denominations and shame on us. There's some good. We can learn from everyone. But he says, this is a precarious situation you got going on in the church. It has the potential to damage the church and bring disunity. He said, somebody needs to help these two ladies. And let your gentleness be evident. Don't rush in there like a bull in the china shop. Be gentle with them. And then he says this. These two ladies have served the kingdom. They have worked with me. And listen to this. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there's something about this that when we read these ladies that just can't get along, we want to take a step back and say, well, they just need to get saved. Well, they are saved. Their names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are Christians. They're born again. They love Jesus with all their heart. But they're having a problem. Can you identify with that? Buddy, I love Jesus with all my heart. But I'm having a problem. You know, Tony and I was talking this week, and John Bevere, this has been many, many years ago, when Jim Baker was in prison. And he wrote to John Bevere and he said, would you come and see me? And John Bevere did so. And he asked Jim a very pointed question. He said, when did you quit loving Jesus? What happened? And Jim Baker looked at John Bevere. Some of you may not know this story. This happened in the 80s. I was there. in the 80s. And he says, he looked at John Bevere and he said, I never stopped loving Jesus. This man fell into terrible sin. Did the body of Christ a lot of damage. A lot of people lost their salvation because they had their eyes on a man instead of on Jesus. But I believe his testimony. I believe him when he says, I never stopped loving Jesus. But he followed this up. He said, but I lost the fear of God. I lost the fear of God. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's what the scripture says. It doesn't say it once, it says it many times. He says, help these ladies. I wrote this down. Relationships often prove to be the crucible in which our godliness is tested. Isn't that a great line? It's not original to me. I wish it was. Relationships often prove to be the crucible in which our godliness is tested. How godly are you in your relationships? Ouch, that's right. That's where God wants to prove it, right? Being born again is all about loving. Loving God and loving each other. And sometimes you just meet brother or sister sandpaper, right? And just rub you the wrong way. I remember I pastored for this church, and there was a young man in this church that I told Treve, I said, that guy hates me. I'm pretty sure he comes just because his girlfriend comes, but he can't stand me. And later on, they went to get married, and I did their counseling, and I saw a total different gentleman. I saw somebody, he was so nice and so friendly, and I said, why don't you let your face show that? You know, man, I thought you hated me, and all the time it wasn't that. He just was uncomfortable with our services. He hasn't been raised that way. But isn't it amazing how we can jump to conclusions that are not right? Then he goes on, he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. See, rejoicing needs to be our way of life. Walking in joy. Walking in joy takes great faith because we have to view our circumstances in the light of His promise. We have to view our circumstances in the light of Christ's promises. If you get your eyes totally on the circumstances, depression will set in. Despair, defeat will come in. I've got to give you a story. Biblical story. The disciples were together with Jesus, and he looked at them. He said, boys, let's go to the other side. Let's cross the lake, the sea. And they said, okay, we'll jump in the boat. So they all jumped in the boat, and Jesus settled down in the middle of the boat and went to sleep. About the middle of the night, a huge storm. I mean, they say it was a huge storm. They call it a certain name in Scripture. And they thought they were going to die. And they woke Jesus up, and they said, don't you care? Don't you care that we're suffering? And that's where Jesus spoke to the waves. He said, peace, be still. And they were marveled that he had the capacity, the propensity, the control over the weather. Authority, thank you. Takes a team to preach in this church. help me out. But if the disciples had just remembered the promise, see, Jesus wouldn't have told them, we're going to the other side. If he hadn't meant, we're getting to the other side. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you, Sheila, will complete it. Now that's a word from heaven. Now, If you'll just take that one verse and run every circumstance, every problem that you have, we're going to run it through God's word that says, He's never going to leave me. He is with me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo, boy, I'm telling you, you can work yourself up with this stuff. Right? All of a sudden, my eyes are not on my circumstances that seem to be so grievous, but they're on the promises of God. I can get through it then at that point, right? So therefore, I can face the problems with joy, which is what He wants us to do, to rejoice in the Lord. Christians don't wait for the promise to rejoice. We rejoice before the promise. Does that make sense? So we look a little strange to the world because we're rejoicing when the world knows all hell's breaking loose against them people. Why are they so happy? Because they got the Word of God in their heart. Because they know they're going through. Like David says, Lord, remember the word that you promised to me. I'm going to remind you of that word, Jesus. You gave me a word a long time ago, and I'm standing on it, and I'm going to fight all hell if I have to, because I'm going through. Then, one of the greatest verses, in my opinion, of all times, is the next two verses. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, buddy, that just speaks to my soul. Because by nature, I'm a worry wart. I know how to worry. There are some in this room, probably we could almost divide it in half, but probably more would be like me. There are some people that this is not your favorite verse. That this verse means probably very little to you because it doesn't hit you where you're living. Because you're not that person that gets sick at your stomach when worry comes in. You're not that person that can't sleep when problems arise. You have the great ability to cast that care upon the Lord, which is what He wants you to do. And that comes natural to you. And to you, I would say, you make me sick. I can't stand you, really. No, really what I'd say is I want to be like you. But that doesn't come natural to me. I'm going to tell you, let me just tell you, worry is fearful meditation. You see, the Bible tells us to meditate. And we have the propensity to meditate on one thing or the other in our life. But you have a choice on what are you going to meditate. Now, the Word of God says this, meditate on His Word. So I have already thrown enough Word out to you today that you could have written a verse down and you say, I'm going to meditate on this all day long. Meditate means to chew the cud. I'm just going to chew on this verse. I'm going to swallow it, I'm going to vomit it back up, and I'm going to chew it on again. Isn't that lovely? And that's what we do with worry. Those of you that are prone to worry, that's what we do. We can't get rid of it. See, I can't stop worrying. And you say, Pastor, that's a bad confession. It may be a bad confession, but it's true. It's true. I can't stop. Help me preach. Help me preach. I can't stop, but I can change. Have you ever thought, I just can't stop thinking about this? But you can change. Let me read. This word worry comes from a German word, worgen, and it means to choke or to strangle. You ever feel like you're being choked? The Greek word then is merimeno, and it means to divide the mind. Man, I'm just, what do I do? What do I do? I just don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I hear many believers say stuff like this: my anxiety is getting the best of me. Folks, you got to stop that nonsense. Quit calling it yours. Let's place it, the ownership, where it belongs. That's the devil's anxiety. Amen. Right? So don't you dare claim it. No, that's not my worry. That's not my anxiety. You know, this didn't used to be popular. This didn't used to be a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, people are having anxiety attacks all over the place, not just in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, it's widespread. Where they feel like they're choking. They feel like they're having a heart attack. And what is it? It's worry. And God addressed this in the Word of God. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Woo! If you want to overcome worry, you're going to have to be a person of prayer. I told you the other day, if you're not a worshiper, I bet you're a complainer. I had a few people meet me at the door that day. Didn't really appreciate that much. I'm going to tell you this. If you're a worrier, you're probably not a prayer. Now, folks, I just told you, that's my natural person. So I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. But you get to listen in. So Matthew chapter 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaks to these people. He says, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That's 6:25. And then verse 27 says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, what are you going to accomplish besides driving yourself crazy? Nothing. Then he goes right into verse 33 that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Mm-mm-mm. Instead of worrying, I need to be seeking the kingdom. So maybe worry is a sign that my priorities might be off a little bit. So let me show you and share with you just a bit of what I feel like the Spirit of the Lord gave me insight. When I told you I can't stop worrying. You see, I'm a natural man. You are too. But when I was 7 years old, the Spirit of God came in me. And He gave me a power in my spirit man that's an overcomer. And therein is the battle. There's two things that are fighting. The spirit and the flesh are at war against each other inside my head. You ever feel like you're going crazy? Say, how do you know who's winning? Who are you feeding the most? If you're feeding the flesh, the Bible says the carnal mind, the one you were born with, is enmity. It's an enemy of God. Because it doesn't think and it won't submit to Him. But the spiritual mind is subject to the laws of God. Right? I think it's Romans 6 or 8. It's in there. Read it. So I've got a choice. And my choice is, I have to learn to walk in the Spirit. See, whether you call yourself Pentecost, Baptist, Presbyterian, I don't care what you call yourself. Matters very little. But let me just tell you something you are. You're a person of the Spirit. You're not born again unless the Spirit of God's in you. So you have to identify that I am a person of the Spirit. And Galatians 6, 16 says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But I was trained to walk in the flesh. I was trained to try to figure these things out, to solve my own problems. A man is weak if he's always looking for counsel, if he's always looking for help. He's a weak man. That was my training. Then we get songs like, Jesus, I need you. Every day, I need you. And we come to the realization that, yes, I am weak. But in my weakness, He is made strong. And I have a choice to make every day of my life. Will I walk in my intelligence? Will I walk in my own reasoning? Or will I walk in the Spirit of God? And if I'm walking in the Spirit of God, worry takes care of itself. And all of a sudden, the things of the Spirit starts bearing fruit in my life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 25, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It, within my own self, I have a little bit of problem with that. I have a problem showing my emotions. I have a problem reaching out and loving people. But in the Spirit of the Lord, He is in me. He teaches me to love. He has taught me to love my wife. I said, brother, you needed a teacher for that? I really did. I'd never seen a good marriage. Wasn't in my family, I promise you. So God had to teach me, really, how to keep my mouth shut. You know, I just don't get to respond to everything I want to respond to. I'm like, I'll answer that in a few hours or days or weeks. When I can gain control of myself, I'll answer that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. See, I don't have to work it up. I ain't working nothing up. But when I walk in the Spirit, these things just begin to blow up in my life. Love, joy, peace. Oh my goodness, what a commodity is missing in our world is peace. More people are on medicine today trying to get peace. And I'm not against that. But it's not a long-term solution to this problem. The solution is allow Him to teach you. It ain't my problem. I'm going to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Now, folks, I'm just going to go back a little bit on you. About 30 years ago, I had a nervous breakdown. I thought I was losing my mind. Quoted Scripture. I mean, I'm a young man at that point. You know, I'm just maybe 30 years old, and I'm just quoting the Scripture just to be able to get out of bed to face the day. I know what it's like to lose your peace. That same Spirit came upon me this week. See, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, God's not given you a spirit of fear. That's a spirit, folks. Recognize fear is not, it's not just this little thing. It's a spirit. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Have you ever had to quote that self to yourself? Yeah. I've got a sound mind. I know it doesn't seem real sound right now, but I'm telling myself, self, you got a sound mind. I preach all the time to myself. I recognize that spirit was coming back on me this week. And buddy, I had to do some soul searching. Had to do some praying, getting alone with God. And had to tell myself, you are not the man you used to be. And you will fight this one different. You get me? I'm not the man I was yesterday. You're not either. We're growing in grace. We're going from glory to glory to glory. As the problems arise, it's opportunities to watch God be faithful. So why should I worry? Worry is of the enemy. Worry is fearful meditations. I know what worry does. It divides my mind when the Lord says, be of one mind. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I'm telling you, a worrier fits that. But in my nature, I'm telling you that's who I am. Thank God I'm not all natural. Thank God I'm a spiritual man. You say, what are you screaming and hollering about, Pastor? Because I know the torment. I know what it's like to live that life. And there is no joy when you're walking in worry. It's a miserable existence. And I'm just amazed at how many Christians are there. And it's not God's will for you. And I'm not preaching condemnation in any way. I'm just saying, wake up. God's got something better. He wants to do something more powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says we don't walk in the flesh, nor do we wage war according to the flesh. Hallelujah. I ain't got to figure it out. I feel like Forrest Gump sometimes. I'm not a smart man. But thank God I serve a smart God. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You're not going to solve this. You got a problem with a coworker that you just can't seem to get past? Your weapon is not carnal. It's not the flesh. It's in the spirit. See, when we're trying to look at spiritual problems and attack them in the fleshly nature, it doesn't work that way. Does that make sense? He says the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments. Listen to this next sentence. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know what that is? That's worry. Worry exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It tells you this problem God can't solve. And I've come to tell you today, there is no problem that God cannot solve. And buddy, I've got a few. So we're going to overcome worry through prayer. Prayer in the Greek is the word proshush. It means up close and personal. Prayer is not, hey God, if you're out there somewhere, I wish upon a star. Prayer is my God. My God. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He says, come boldly. Come boldly into the throne of grace. I love the fact that our God calls His throne the throne of favor. We aren't beggars. We're sons. We're daughters. My sons, when they were growing up, they never begged me for a thing. And they were pretty used to hearing the word no. But they also knew that if I could, I would. Do you know that about your God? If He can, He will. You know the difference between God and me? God can. His finances are not short. His arm is not short. God can do. Come boldly to the throne of grace where you present your needs and you find mercy and grace. Not judgment. Paul didn't judge those ladies. He didn't even scold them. He said, but let's work it out. That's our problems. God is not scolding you because you got problems today. God's saying, but let's work them out. Bring them to me. You have not because you ask not. Maybe Kelleher rendition would be, you have not because you're trying to do it yourself. Yeah, I like Kelleher rendition. First Timothy chapter 2, he says that, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayer, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made to all men. Those are different types of praying. But in this verse, he says, he says, worry about nothing. Or let me quote it really. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So what is supplication? The Greek word is deesis. It means to plead. It's a person with lack that pleads strongly for his needs to be met. The difference between supplication and intercession is supplication is I'm praying for me, intercession I'm praying for you. But with both, I'm coming to the Lord with this urgency, with this strong, not this mealy-mouthed stuff that we're taught by religious people. Did I hit a holy cow or something? James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, the energized is the Greek, the energo, energized prayer. You don't have to be loud because God's not deaf. I just like being loud, okay? And then he says that fervent prayer, that is the deesis that I was saying, the supplication, that prayer that goes, Father, I know you can touch it. I know you're able. And I trust that you hear me. You know, most Christians just need to settle that one. Amen. We are so prone to go to the Lord, and if I get a goosebump, I think he heard me. But if I don't feel it, oh, well, I don't think God heard me. Would you get over yourself? This life ain't about what you feel. It's about what the Word says. And the Word of God says that His eye is turned towards the righteous, and I am the righteous because of Jesus Christ, not because of the goodness in me. His eye is turned towards the righteous, and His ear is turned towards their prayer. I'm telling you, you need to settle in heaven. When I just breathe the name of Jesus, He hears me. When I was in seventh grade, I know this is going to surprise you, but I did something stupid. They had a swing set. You remember back years ago when they'd set the swing sets in concrete? And they were huge. They were great big. And then at the end of the swing set was this big old chunk of concrete. Oh, it was brilliant. I don't know who decided that. Oh, let's not put something soft there. Let's put concrete. And I decided to do something more than just slide down on the seat of your pants. I think I was going to ski it. Well, I didn't ski it very well. And I tumbled down that thing. It was huge. It was probably as tall as the ceiling. And when I got to the end, I hit that concrete, or I hit the metal. I don't know exactly what I hit, but it about knocked me unconscious. And I remember the only thing I could say was His name. I said, Jesus. I knew I was in trouble. Jesus. Never said, heal me. I never said, help me. I just said, Jesus. And you know what? I never had any problems from that fall. But the next day, my best friend come up to me, and he said, he was there with me. He said, Eric, I want what you've got. And I said, I ain't got nothing. What you talking about? I'm as poor as anybody in this school. He said, I don't know Jesus that way. I'm going to tell you, when Christians start praying, the world takes notice. And they ain't the only ones. When Christians start praying, the devil takes notice. Hallelujah. I'm going to hurry through this. I know I'm taking too long. Supplication. And then he says, pray with thanksgiving. You know, I don't think we ought to have a prayer, ever have a prayer without thanksgiving. Don't be one of those nine lepers that never return thanks. See, I believe this. See, you start thanking Him for the answer to your prayer long before you have it. My warning is this. Don't tell God how to answer your prayer. You realize how much we do. Well, Lord, You need to do this. Maybe we'd be better off and say, God, I got a problem. I don't know how to solve it, but I know You do. I'm not going to tell you. You know, He said He would do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's within you. Hallelujah. Let your request be made known to God. You know, Psalms 119, 164 said this, seven times a day I praise You because of Your righteous judgments. Hallelujah. Seven times a day. Man, I gave that a lot of thought. Well, we're just going to be praising Jesus all day. Yep, that's what He wants, right? And then He says something. There's a promise to this verse. And the peace of God. Peace in the Greek is Irene. And it means, it's the same as the Hebrew word shalom. It means completeness. Oh, don't you want to be complete? It means tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressure. Peace is the rule of order in place of chaos. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That means to umpire in your heart, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite verses, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. My job? Keep my mind where it should be. Keep my thoughts where they should be. On Him, not on my problems. There's not one of us in this room that doesn't have problems. But where are your thoughts? Where are your eyes? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Satan, it's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, is to try to get your thoughts off of him and get it onto them. And when he does that, he steals your joy, and he steals your peace, and he divides your mind. Is that not powerful? And you know what? As God's children, he wants better than that for you. So hear me. I'm not preaching condemnation in any way. I'm preaching hope. Hope is confident expectation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you never had another day of worry? You never had another day where you spent all night long thinking about your problem. Maybe some of you don't know what that's like. I do. I promise you I do. The peace of God which passes understanding. I cannot figure out the things of God, but I can say yay and amen. Bring it on, Jesus. Amen. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to ask you if you need to come to this altar. Step out of your seat right now. Just come, and we'll end in prayer in just a minute. But I just felt in my spirit that some people may need to sacrifice this. They may need to come down to a place of prayer where they say, God, forgive me. I've been trying to solve all my own problems. Forgive me because my mind has been divided. But now that I heard your word and I know your word, I know that there's a better way. And I'm coming to this altar today to tell you, I choose life. I'm choosing the better way. And never again will I say my anxiety, my worry, because I ain't giving it up. And it ain't mine. I choose life in Jesus' name. If you need to come down here, just come down and stand. And just know that I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you on this one. I need you every moment. I need you. grace-bought heart sings out your praise forever.
Jesus,
I need, oh yes I do,
every moment
I need you. Hear now this grace-bought heart sings out your praise forever.
Jesus, sing
Jesus,
I need you.
Every moment
I need you.
Hear
now this grace-bought heart
sing out your praise forever. Amen. Would you extend a hand towards those that are down here? Just keep your eyes closed. You don't need to know who's down here. That's between them and the Lord. It's very possible that you're at your seat saying, boy, I should have come down. Let's pray. Jesus, I know the pain of worry. I know the pain of trying to solve my own problems. And it's so much better just a word from heaven that says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Father, life is full of problems, and you said they would be. You said that there's going to be plenty of problems every day, but that we are not supposed to let it get our focus. Paul said, set your affection on things above. Set your mind, set your eyes upon the author of faith. God, I pray for every person, including myself. And Lord, first let us come before you and say, Lord, we're sorry. I'm sorry I've made it all about me. And I had a divided mind that was choking off your word. And I repent. Lord, repent means to have a change of mind. I repent. I'm asking you to change my mind. I'm asking you to help me and teach me to walk in the Spirit so that these things start appearing in my life. The joy and the peace and the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness. That all those would appear, begin to blow up in my life. God, as I trust you. Lord, I know that this up here, as I pray, Father, I know it's not going to change my problems right now. So I'm not going to have the unrealistic expectation that when I leave this building, all my problems are gone. But what I do say is they're not my problems anymore. They're yours, God, because I'm casting upon you and I'm one of yours. I'm a sheep. I'm just a sheep, and sheep are not pack animals. God, we're not designed to carry worry. We're not designed to carry all these burdens. You said that your burden is light. So God, today I'm unpacking. I'm just throwing this junk off. I'm not going to worry about my adult children. I'm not going to worry about my children that are still in the home. I'm not going to worry about my finances. I'm not going to worry about my health. I'm going to do what I can do, but I'm not going to worry, Father. I choose to trust. I'll trust in you, God. Father, give me the strength. Give me the strength that I need to walk this out. God, may your gentleness correct me, God. And Lord, we've been corrected by your word today. And our minds are being changed and we're being challenged. And I'm so thankful that you love me enough to challenge me. God, I pray for every person in Jesus' name. Help them to cast these cares off. Help them to trust you. Help them not to lean to their own understanding, but acknowledge you in all their ways. Direct their paths. Father, give them an overcoming word to build their life on, such as we can do all things through Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Father, thank you for prayer. Teach me to be a person of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim by the word of God these folks free from worry in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to ask you that are down here, rejoice. Rejoice like you've been set free. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as we hear chains dropping, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're free and free indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?
Stand here holding the microphone, but I'll mention it. That's fine. The next Friday, they have a prayer at the square. So it's the first Friday of the month. So if you have the opportunity to go to the courthouse and pray, that would be wonderful. Let me see what else. Any other announcements we got, media team? Anything new? I forgot to ask before service, but no, guess not. Okay. Don't forget, if you gave money to Bridge of Hope last year, you should have received a giving record probably last week. If you didn't get your giving record last week, check with Pat at the welcome table on your way out to see if you get it. If she doesn't have one, then let me know and I'll see if we can find something for you, or I'll just make something up if I have to. I don't get that. I wouldn't do that. So anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you. And he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.